The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
I have been reading almost every day a plethora of articles about people quitting their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, highlighting, hey, do this. This is the way to do it. And this is how you can free yourself from the shackles of economic disparity. There's been a record number of workers who are quitting their jobs across the country and I think around the world. About 4.3 million people quit their jobs in August, accounting for nearly 3% of the workforce. Here to talk to us about this and the dignity of work is Jerry Boyer. Jerry's the host of the new podcast, Meeting of the Minds, author of The Maker versus the Takers. And, Jer, welcome back.
John, Kathy, great to be with you again.
Thank you.
Good to see your face, Jerry. If you'd good like to watch you. The program, The Ride Home is streaming live on YouTube at The Word Pittsburgh. You can see Jerry's mug right there as we talk about where all the workers are. An article in today's Wall Street Journal, Jerry, it says more than a year and a half into the pandemic, the U.S. is still missing around 4.3 million workers, and many expect the labor shortage to last at least several more years. Some say it's permanent. What do you say?
I do think it's permanent in the sense of a structural change. I mean, eventually, we can automate and, you know, build kiosks that can do, you know, what people are doing as cashiers now. So the economy can adapt. But I think there is a cultural shift away from labor, away from the dignity of labor, from actually the moral imperative of working, because I don't really think that that working is morally optional. You know, in the Ten Commandments, we're told 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. And I think Christians tend to treat that as one commandment when it's really two commandments. Mm. It's you shall labor and you shall rest, both of them. And I think that something has shifted that we no longer have a kind of positive view necessarily of labor, of work. It's seen as inherently exploitative. Many young people see it as essentially a sucker's game. To go work for $15 an hour, where you can get $15 an hour to not work, and it's interesting. A lot of my fellow economists said, "Well, this is all going to end in September, because in September a lot of these programs are going to shut down, sure. Extended unemployment, COVID benefits." And I argued, I think here and in some of some briefings, no, it's not going to work quite like that, because this isn't only economic incentives. We're not merely utility maximizing machines. Culture is part of who we are. And for basically my lifetime, really for I think almost all of American history, if you were young enough to work, if you were able-bodied, if you were able to work, and you could find work and work was available and you didn't work, that was not respected morally.
Right.
There was a sense of, what are you doing? You can't just stay at home and watch TV all day. You've got to be productive. And I think that's largely evaporated, so that people work, they no longer feel a moral imperative to work, and they no longer feel a moral stigma when they voluntarily forego work. I'm not talking about people who are looking for work and can't find it. I've been there, right? That's a terrible place to be.
Yes.
Complete sympathy for that. But that's not where we are. We've got a labor shortage. There are a lot of jobs that are available. There's other factors here. I understand some people are afraid of COVID. That's in the polling data. Some people don't want to go back to work because they're afraid of the disease. Maybe a few don't like the mandates, although I think that's exaggerated in conservative media, but I think some the case. But I think fundamentally, we no longer think that if you're able to work, you should. And therefore, we don't.
Right. Okay. So, Jerry, the jobs that are not being filled are the lower end jobs, right? Whether it's maintenance workers or people working in fast food and whatnot, those are the lower end. So people, some percentage of those people have moved up the tier, maybe to higher paying jobs, better work, But there is something inherent about those entry-level jobs that people are just missing. And it's surprising, at least, you know, to see the economy crumbling in some ways around those pillars of those stable, lower-paying jobs.
Yeah, so what are those jobs? Those are not easy jobs.
No.
I don't know about you two. That's where I started.
Me too.
Yep.
Overnight shift at McDonald's.
Yep.
And then bussing tables at Ponderosa and mopping up. Again, third shift. Not easy. So I'm sympathetic. And then on to janitorial work. Those are my early jobs. So I get that people don't want to do them. I didn't want to do it either. But also we need to understand that those are starter jobs. Those are when you don't yet have the skill set to do something that pays more and is maybe more fulfilling. Those are starter jobs. And here's the problem. If people don't take starter jobs, then they don't get started. And if they don't get started, then they can't progress. So if you spend 3, 4, 5 years in your 20s just not working, you might feel like the person who's working was foolish because they worked and they could have gotten paid to stay home. But really, you were foolish because you weren't developing the habit of showing up for work. You weren't developing the emotional habit of listening to a boss. You might be smarter than your boss even, but you still have to listen to that boss. That's a hard thing to learn. But once you learn it, it helps you go further of controlling your sleep schedule, not staying up all night watching your favorite late night TV because you have to work the next day, and developing a skill set. So that's really foundational. And if that doesn't start, then for a lot of people, they're behind the rest of their lives.
Right. And there's something to be said, and you bring this up, about the idea of dignity in work, right? That there is a holiness. I mean, not to over-spiritualize what work is, but there is something about a person taking care of themselves or people that they love. There is an inherent human dignity in the nature of work.
Yes, there's a dignity to earning money that you use to take care of the people you love, right? There's a dignity in work in abstract. And also in any work that you do, unless it's completely evil work, right? So I'm not urging people to go out and get jobs as sex workers or porn salespeople or slinging drugs. I'm talking about ethical work. Every bit of work that you do like that mirrors God. Go back and reread whatever your job is tonight. Just go back and reread Genesis 1. And you're going to find God doing something like what you're doing somewhere in there, including janitorial work, you know, with the cleaning up of the tohu vavohu, the formless and void. Well, when I was a janitor at one point in my life, I looked back at that and I said, you know, that's creational work. That's mirroring the image of God, you know, the washing of things, the separating of dry from water, et cetera. It all is the image of God. You're all doing image of God work. And once you get that, it's all sacred. And I think we've lost that. And I don't just mean the culture. I mean, the church has lost that. I got to tell you, in my whole life of going to church, I'm not sure I ever heard a sermon about laziness. I'm not sure that I've ever heard a single sermon against the sin of sloth. I have heard many references in sermon to the problem of working too much. I've heard many, many, many times Christian ministers say, well, at the end, no one on their deathbed says, I wish I'd gone to the office more.
Right.
And you got to get it, got to go to the little league. And I understand there are parental duties. But if all the pull is in one direction, if all the pull is work isn't so important and this other stuff is, and missing the fact that the first command given to humanity is to work, then don't be surprised if the Christian church isn't prophetic in what was once called the Protestant work ethic. If the Protestant churches, which are most churches in America, no longer teach the Protestant work ethic, how can we expect our culture to have a work ethic either?
Jerry Boyer is with us. Jerry's the host of the new podcast, Meeting of Minds, author of The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Jerry, how are people surviving? I just like the question is, so we have to go to work every day or we wouldn't be able to afford to live in our houses. What are people doing?
People are quitting their jobs. What are they doing?
Well, some people are going into early retirement. Some young people are living off of parents. I mean, there's a lot of people who are living in the basement, you know, of living in mom or mom and dad's basement. They're dependent on other people. So for some people, working is sort of optional. A lot of people were getting unemployment benefits that were extended over a very, very long period of time because of COVID. Also, a lot of people are sitting on a lot of cash because these stimmy checks kept going out, right? Yeah. Trump bucks and then Biden bucks. So they're sitting on cash and some of them will only go back to work when they've burned through the cash. But I don't think you work because you're out of cash. I think you work because it's what you're made to do.
Yeah.
What does it say? That God rested from all the work which he had made and done. So if the first thing we see God doing is working, and then man is made in the image of God, then it is really central to the image of God to work. And if we lose that, then what we're going to see now is what we have now, which is a mismatch between the amount of work that needs to be done and the people who are willing to do work.
So that people who refuse to work or choose not to work, this obviously doesn't bode well for the future of this country.
Well, yeah, but it especially doesn't bode well for them because the economy is highly adaptive. I mean, we again, for these low-level jobs, you can automate your way around it. We haven't because we've had people available. So I think those who are hurt the most would not be the economy in general. I think those who are hurt the most are the people who never start in with starter jobs. And by the way, this was a problem with the early church because there was eschatological expectation. There was a sense from some that Jesus is about to come back. Remind you of any other time, you know, earlier this or that, you know, we're talking about end times movies. There's a sense that Jesus is about to come back. And a lot of early Christians weren't working. And Paul basically rebukes them and says, let him who steals steal no longer, but work with his hands. So there was a problem with the work ethic in the early church, and the church kind of got its act together on that.
I don't know, Jerry. I said to John before we started into this segment, I find this subject really sad. I really do. I mean, it's just you. What you said at the beginning, I think, was astute, which is that if you don't use the muscle, you lose the muscle. And a lot of working is just showing up, getting up in the morning, reading your stuff, or getting out and putting your work clothes, whatever it is, just showing up.
I don't want to do it, but I'm here.
Yeah, and the more we have people not showing up to do that, the worse off all of us, our families, our inner selves, and the rest of it's going to be.
And there's a real showing up problem. I'm seeing this over and over again. I'm hearing it from friends. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were at a conference and we were at a restaurant. And there was one woman who was there waiting on tables.
Yeah.
Some one or two people just didn't show up. Yeah. So she stayed and she worked. She worked hard. And some of the clients were giving her, you know, a rough time, which I think was so unfair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not going to make it easier if we're hard on the people who do show up. But so people, they might be technically employed, but they show up or they don't show up because they have a sense of leverage in the labor market. But it's not always going to be there. And the main thing isn't whether you have leverage against your employer. It's whether you have leverage against your vices.
Right.
Sloth
isn't that
and
the
fear
truth?
Are vices.
Isn't
labor
that the
is
truth?
One of the – there's lots of things in life that grow you up, right? Being married and doing it well grows you up. Being a parent and taking it seriously, it grows you up. And being employed and staying employed grows you up. These are the institutions that God has created to mature us so that we're not children forever. I know we're supposed to start off when we enter the kingdom as children, but Jesus doesn't say stay as a child. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but I put aside childish things. Work is one of, I'd say work, education, work and marriage and parenthood then coming out of marriage. These are the institutions more than anything else that I think cause people to mature.
I agree.
If we don't have them, we won't mature.
Amen.
We got to shut you down, Jerry. Time's
Jerry,
up.
Excellent. Thanks so
Thanks
much for,
so
being,
much
with
for
us.
Being here today. You're
really
good
did.
Work on
My
this.
Pleasure.
That's
yes.
Jerry Boyer. Check out his book, The Maker Versus the Takers, what Jesus really said about social justice and economics. Great to see you, Jerry.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.